Today we are reading Bamidbar chapter 7. As is well known, this chapter is a very long chapter in text, but the content seems to be not very long because it's mostly repetitive. It mostly divides into two major parts. So the story of this chapter, to return to our structure of the narrative, is the final part, which is really missing in some sense from the previous narratives, mostly in Sefer Vayikra, of the Hanukkah, the dedication of the Mishkan. We had three different times we've discussed the specific processes of the dedication of the Mishkan in Sefer Shemois, and in the mitzvah, and then the action of the mitzvah in Sefer Vayikra. We had the Karbonis called the Miluim, which sanctified the Mishkan by that. We had in Sefer Shemois before that the finishing the building of the Mishkan. And now in Sefer Bamidbar we have the gifts, or the specific karbonos, structured as gifts, given not by Moshe and the Levim, but by the Nesiim, of all the other tribes, which the gifts that they brought for the celebration, we call this more of the celebration of the dedication of the Mishkan. And that's the final part of the dedication of the Mishkan, which is said here. So it belongs to this, finishing this narrative of the dedication of the Mishkan, to which, in a certain sense, all of the census and all of the appointments and all of the mitzvahs that we've discussed here are appended. And we could also see very nicely that this matches with my thesis that I've been working with all of this time, that the Sefer Bamidbar specifically discusses how the Mishkan and its Kedusha spreads out throughout all the camp, throughout all the tribes. So just like we had the laws that belong to the Kehanim in Sefer Vayikra, and the laws belonging more to the organization of the Machne around and around them in Sefer Bamidbar. In the same way, we'll have, and the next chapter, the dedication of the Levim, which is, again, more outer level, so to speak, of the Kehanim. In the same way, the dedication of the Mishkan, the Karbonis that brought for that sanctification and dedication belonging to the Kehanim was in Sefer Vayikra. And the Karbonis brought by the Nesiim of the rest of the tribes to celebrate the dedication of the Mishkan are in Sefer Bamidbar, which matches to this theory at Sefer Bamidbar, discussing how all the other tribes are also organized surrounding the Mishkan. Now, there were two different kinds of gifts that the Nesiim of the rest of the tribes brought, and we'll read them. So the first story starts, Vahi b'yom kalis Moshe elokim es ha-mishkan, v'yimshech oisai v'yikadesh oisai, and goes on, v'eskal kelev, v'smezbech, v'eskal kelev. In other words, in the day that Moshe finished setting up the Mishkan, so this is really brings us all the way back to the end of Sefer Shemois, which is where it describes the setting up, the Hakama of the Mishkan. And it's sort of not saying, Vayi b'yoyim hekrav haran es ha-miluim, right? It's the day that the Mishkan was set up. Of course, that's the same day in which the Miluim happened. But this is referring all the way back to that. The Nesiyah Yisrael, Roshei Beis Avoisam, brought, and the Pesach says, these are also the Nesiyah Matit, these are also Imdim Al HaPkudim. So it's connecting us to the census that we had here. We see that these Nesiyim, their job is both to be Nesiyah HaMatis, all of the appointments, all of the management of the Matis is their job. And they're also the ones appointed on the census, Hem Imdim Al HaPkudim. Now they bring a carbon. What do they bring? And they bring a combined carbon altogether, 6 carriages, Eglis Tzav, so carriages, which Tzav, nobody knows exactly what it means, but some kind of good carriages, and 12 Bukar. 12 Bukar just means cattle, but apparently here, I would assume it means oxen. And as the Pesach explains, so this means that each Tunisian bring one carriage, and each one bring one shoir, as it says, one axe. So that's how I know that Bukar is one axe. And they bring it. And now, as all the stories here, they have an explicit command that it should work. So Hashem tells Moshe, take it, and it will be given for the work of the Ohel Moed. You will give it to the Levim, each according to his work. In other words, it seems like it wasn't simple. Should I accept it? Remember all the gifts given here, all the way back to Parshas Truma. Parsha of this week happens to be. There was a specific command for every kind of thing to be brought. Here, the Nesiim, they just thought of something themselves to bring. So how does it work? How does it get authorized? So Hashem has explicitly given authorization to this. And therefore Moshe follows the command, he takes it and gives it to the Levim. Now this is the gift not to the building of the Mishkan, but to the carrying of the Mishkan. So it's very interesting if we think about the hierarchy here, so we have the building of the Mishkan and all of the things that belong to it, the avodah that belongs to the Kohen. Then we have the Levim, whose job includes the carrying of the Mishkan, right? Now, after that, we have the Nesiim bringing gifts to the Levim, so to speak, to help them with their carrying of the Mishkan. So that's how all the Nesiim are participating in the Mishkan, also specifically in this carrying of the Mishkan, which is like one step before their place, so to speak. And that's what they do. And Moshe distributes the carriages to the Levim according to need, right? So he gives two carriages to Vnei Gershon. They carry, as we've seen earlier, the lighter things, the fabrics and things like that. And four carriages, which each with two axes to carry it. So eight Bokri gives to Meruri, who carry the Kroshim, all the heavier parts of the Mishkan, led by a Sumer Kahas. The third one don't get because they carry the internal vessels of Avodas HaKodesh Shalem, and that is carried, as we've studied before, because it's carried on the shoulder, it's not carried on oxen. So part of the honor of the Mishkan is that the most important parts are not carried by these carriages, they're carried by humans. Maybe there's also like a basic protection in this, you know, they could break, they're fragile, so we don't put them on the carriages, but also it's a question of respect. So they're not carried by animals, they're carried by humans. So that's the first gift, and as we said, the gift of the Nesiim to the Avodah of the Levim. Now, there's a gift that they bring for the Mishkan itself, and also this gift, it's described in the same way. The Nesiim bring it, and then Hashem has to authorize Moshe to accept it, and he also gives them the way to distribute it. So these same two things, the same exact structure, is for both of these gifts. It says the Nesiim bring the Chanukah Samezbach. If you read the story, for example, of Shlomo, and also later in Beis Shani, how they celebrated the dedication of the temple, you'll remember that part of it is bringing a lot of kabbunas. So those kabbunas are not the meluim, right? It's not a question of the meluim are the kabbunas that specifically their tafkid, their function is to sanctify the mikdash and so on. These are kabbunas that are not sanctificatory. They're not ones that are being mekadesh the mishkan, like connected to the mashicha and all of that. They're ones that are celebrating the grand opening of the mishkan. And Hashem tells Moshe, you should accept it and you should give, let one Nusi bring his kabbalas every day. So they're spreading out the celebration to many days by giving each Nusi one day to bring his celebratory kabbalas. And here we have the very lengthy recounting of their kabbalas. Each day, again, the same exact, they all bring the same exact carbon. And we describe each day which Nusi brought it and what his carbon was, and each one of them has repeated the same thing, and I'm pretty sure that this is meant to be a celebratory thing to read, and we see that we read it on Hanukkah every year, on the days of Hanukkah, although there's only 8 days of Hanukkah, there should have been 12 days according to this, but there's only the 8 days of Hanukkah, and we somehow push that in the last day we read five, so we should push it all in, but we read each day, and I'm pretty sure that this is the meaning of it being written, so just as, the celebration was spread out into 10 days to make the celebration bigger, right? They could have, it's not like the Mishkan is very hungry, it needs all this karbonas, so we're bringing all of these, you know, just so that so it should exist. No, it was explicitly spread out in order to make the celebration longer, in order to make it bigger by it being spread out. In the same way, it's explicitly spread out the recounting of it in the text, so that it's more celebratory, it's nicer when a person is happy. That's another thing. We're starting the Chodesh Adar today. When a person is happy, he tends to speak at length. That's one of the attributes of happiness. When a person is sad, he tends to be silent. So even if he speaks, he would speak very very silently or very shortly, like very elliptically. When a person is happy, he speaks a lot. That's why we can see the Megillas Esther has the longest style in Tanakh, because it's meant to be read when people are very happy. And therefore, it's made in that way. In the same way, when the Torah is very happy, it's trying to express the happiness, the great simcha of the Chanukah Samezbach, it repeats the same thing 12 times because it's not like we have to go anywhere, it's not like we have to make it shorter because like we're slaves, because like we're stuck, no. We're all happy, and we can do everything again and again. And therefore, I will read. I cannot read every time the same thing again 12 times. We can read that in the Torah when it's time to do that in the Parsha. But I can tell you each day who the Nasi was, and for the first one, I will tell you what his carbon was. So the first day, the Makriv, the carbon was Nachshon ben Amnadav, the Nasi of Shevet Yehuda. And this carbon was like this. So the carbon is always divided into these three parts, we could say. So this first is a mincha. Now the mincha is brought in beautiful dishes. So he brings a mincha in a silver dish, a silver ka'ara, along with a mizrak, some like kind of dish or some kind of utensil to which we spray the blood with, or some other things. Also gold, each, now it gives the amounts, it gives the weights for these, right? The ka'ara is weighs 130 shekel, the shekel is a weight, right? The mizrak weighs 70 shekel, and both of these come along first with a furl of soles for a mincha. So that's a normal way. When you bring a mincha, you're bringing a kli. They donated both the mincha and the kli, and also a calf. Now that's number one. Also, besides that, they bring a calf, again, weighing 10 something of gold, 10 shekelim of gold, full of ketores. And then there's karbonas. They bring oil, chatas, and shlomim as the three kinds of main karbonas. So they bring a par for oila, a par and aisle for oila, a soit for chatas, as most chatas tzibar are, at least, and also chatas yochid. And for shlomim, they bring a big shlomim, so they bring tobukah, five aylem, five atudim, and five kvasim. That's the great shlomim, because shlomim is the big celebration, the party, as we always discussed, there's a lot of those. That's the karbon of Nachshon. And the second day, Nisan el Bensuah, the Nusav Yisachar, Yisachar does the same thing. On the third day, Eliyav ben Chaylin, the Nusav of Zevulun. On the fourth day, Elitzer ben Shedeh, the Nusav of Reuven. On the fifth day, Shlemuel ben Tzurishadai, the Nusav of Shimon. On the sixth day, El Yosef ben Uel, the Nusav of God. On the seventh day, Lishama ben Amiud, the Nasi of Ephraim. On the eighth day, Gamliel ben Pedosi, the Nasi of Menashe. On the ninth day, Avidam ben Gedoini, the Nasi of Binyamin. On the tenth day, Achiezer ben Amishad, the Nasi of Dan. On the 11th day, Pagiel ben Achan, the Nasi of Osher. On the 12th day, Achira ben Einan, the Nasi of Naphtali. And then we have the final recount, the final march, so to speak, of this whole celebration, is it gives us total tally of all of these gifts, and it gives us Zoyz Chanukas Mizbech. So in total, this is how much was donated to the Mizbech, to the dedication of the Mizbech, and the day that it was Nimshach, and the day that it was anointed with oil from the Nesiim. And it turns out, in all in total, they all had together 12 plates, 12 trays of silver, 12 mizrokim of silver, 12 gold spoons. Each one is 130. Now, if you think about the silver, now we could count how much silver and how much gold we got. Each silver ka'ara was 130. Each mizrak was 70. Altogether, 2,400 shkolim was donated along these all this time. The 12 kapas turns out to be, since each is worth 10 gold, or weighs 10 gold, so it's a total of 120. So since they each brought one bokar for oila, turns out to be 12 putim for oila. Since they each brought one aisle for oila, we have 12 aylem. Since they each brought one keves for oila, they have 12 kvasim. Since they each brought one soy for a chatas, we have 12 seirim. Since they each brought two putim for a shlomim, we have 24 putim. Since they all each brought, how many aylem? Five aylem for the shlomim, we have 60 aylem. Since they each brought five atudim, we have 60 atudim. Since they each brought five kvasim, we have 60 kvasim. That's 12 times five. That's the total. That's what the Mizbeach had for its dedication. And now the final end. This is really, there's something very similar in the end of Sefer Shemois. And this teaches us that this is explicitly meant to be the end of this part of the story, the end of the story, which finishes with Moshe entering into the Mishkan after it was finished. So after it was finished, and Sefer Shemois, he had something like this. And after it finished Sefer Yikra, we did not entirely have something like this. We had something similar or close to similar to this in Parshas Shemini Achra. And now we have, in the final finishing of it, we have, and Moshe came to the El Moed, and he hears the voice speaking to him from on top of the Kapoires, which is on the Urim, between the two Kruvim, it speaks to him. So that's, as we've started in the beginning of Parshas Truma, the whole point of this is, V'ne'adati l'chashem v'dibarti itcha me'ala Kapoires, and here that promise is fulfilled. Hashem speaks to Moshe me'ala Kapoires. We had that, as we said, in the beginning of Shemois, at one version of the end, and now in the second or third or final version of the end, we have the same thing telling us that after all this was done, Moshe had heard the voice speaking to him from between the two Kruvim. Maybe we can understand this is also as, if there's like two versions or two stories of this voice, we could understand this as something like, this is the voice also, because all of the Mishkan, all the Avodah, all of the setting up, this sort of creates the space or the ability to hear the voice. In the same way, if we include all the Nesiim into the Chanukas HaMishkan, so in some sense, that means that the voice is also includes all of that.